with all of the nostalgia that goes with the experience of college, the look of the quadrangle ivy, the goofy dormitories, the bad food, the smells of the classrooms in those Hogwarts-looking buildings. It's all so tangible.
Good morning. Unfortunately, this is not a seminar, so I'll be talking. You know, the problem with teaching two classes, two lecture classes, is that you can't tell the same jokes twice. But given the success of my jokes yesterday, it's a good thing.
It's like you're back there again in college. But in the future, maybe you never were there.
This is a course about justice, and we begin with a story. Suppose you're the driver of a trolley car, and your trolley car is hurtling down the track at 60 miles an hour.
That's Harvard professor Michael Sandel's online justice course. It does not require a trip to the campus. There are thousands of Harvard and MIT courses and lectures that are available online where there is no Ivy, but where there is a lot of interest in changing higher education. Harvard and MIT have a nonprofit partnership called edX, an online learning initiative that offers free online college classes to anyone with an internet connection. It's been around for a year and has already had an impact in vastly widening the access to learning. Anant Agarwal is president of edX and professor of electrical engineering and computer science at MIT. Kara Miller is host of the WGBH Innovation Hub program. Both of them will be part of an event tonight in Boston looking at coming disruptions in higher education. For a community where college is a major industry, the economy, Kara Miller says, is about to experience a jolt.
There is this really underlying fundamental issue here, which is the issue of money. You go to Harvard, you go to MIT, you go to Boston University, and you're looking at tuitions per year that are orbiting around $60,000. I mean, that is an issue. If you think about trying to put two or three kids through college with $60,000 a year tuitions, that is an issue that is motivating the whole industry, the whole education industry, to rethink, okay, how are we going to provide education? Is there a better way to do it?
Well, let's talk about the specifics of this edX joint venture of MIT and Harvard. I mean, they had a name in higher education for this sort of off-campus learning. They called it Correspondence School, and it was pretty much of a pejorative 20 years ago. What's different about edX?
One of the biggest things we're trying to do here is improve the quality of education. We really haven't had any big innovation in learning since the printing press. I think textbooks were the last big thing that happened, and that happened in the mid-1400s. Certainly, correspondence courses and so on got a really bad rap because they did not do anything about quality. What we are trying to do with online learning and with another form we call blended learning, where we combine online with in-person on campuses, is to really improve the quality of education while at the same time increasing access to learners all over the world.
I think the real question, though, is how well can you motivate people when they're in a class? And some of these classes are classes with 100,000, 200,000 people. There was a course offered in the computer science department at Harvard recently where 150,000 people signed up. But you look at who completed everything, who did all the work, took the final, turned in all the homework. Less than 1% of the original students who signed up. So that is the real trick here. That is the real stumbling block, at least to my mind. How do you engage the people on the other side of the screen?
Although this is something you might expect. I mean, there are benefits, Anant Agarwal, are there not, of people having various levels of experience with college content. Some people maybe want to audit the class. Other people want to do all of the work. Harvard and MIT get the benefit of influencing students regardless, yes?
I think this is the ultimate democratizer of education. If you look at the people applying to places like MIT, Harvard, Berkeley, the numbers applying are significantly more than all the universities can take in. With edX and online learning, on the other hand, everybody can come in, and if they can cut it, they can get a credential at the end of it.
Well, this leads us to a philosophical question, Kara Miller. I'm wondering what the value of the credential is. What's the product that Harvard is selling? Is it learning? Is it the lecture content? Or is it hanging out with the Zuckerbergs and the Winklevosses on campus? Maybe that's ultimately what the real product is going to be in the future.
Yeah, well, so that's the interesting thing. I mean, people like Andrew DelBanco at Columbia have asked this question, are we headed towards a stratification of education where you're going to have people who hang out with the Winklevosses and the Mark Zuckerbergs and have that money to do that at Harvard? And then you have the other people who are in these massive open online courses with 100,000 of their closest friends. I think the promise, though, the promise is that, you know, you look at something like Michael Sandel, who is this famous lecturer on justice at Harvard. And the promise of these courses that is that if you're in some tiny state school, some community college somewhere, and you have an okay professor, maybe not very good, instead of listening to that person, you too can be in Michael Sandel's course. Now, on the other hand, there's also, I think, a lot of fear because of that. You've seen San Jose State write an open letter to Michael Sandel basically saying, hey, look, the people in our department, we can do a better job than some guy 3,000 miles away. And, oh, yeah, we're also worried you're about to take our jobs. That's another aspect of all of this.
You know, I think if I may jump in here a little bit, what online learning and ventures like edX are forcing us to do, forcing universities to do, is to really think really, really hard about what is the value add of your campus? What is the value add of bringing students into a classroom? What is the value add of the admissions process and the people you hang out with and the campus experience and so on? So I think this is really forcing us to think really, really hard. Where is the value that, what exactly is the value that campus provides? And maybe by focusing on that, we can do a lot better on our campuses.
It seems there's been a tension in higher education for years about the embrace of a more diverse student body, a democratization, and the sort of language of, oh, they're a scholarship student, or they're an affirmative action student, or are we going to see someday they're a online student. That Harvard credential isn't legit because they weren't on campus.
You know, I think it's very hard to say what the world is going to be in the future. I think I'm completely confident that it's not going to be the same as it is today.
And let me jump in here and say that I think it's also possible that we're moving away from the era in which what mattered was where your degree was from. It may be that we're moving to an era where people say, oh, John Hockenberry, you've taken a test that shows that you know how to do calculus, that you know how to program computers. You see what I mean? So that it goes more towards what you know how to do rather than who taught you how to do that. Because at the end, you took a test and you scored, let's say, in the 90th percentile of that test on computer programming, and that's what your employer cares about. I think that's a real possibility here.
Moving towards an actual meritocracy. Well, to someone who dropped out of college, that's very reassuring to me. Kara Miller, thanks so much.
So there you go.
Kara Miller, host of WGBH's Innovation Hub program, and Anant Agarwal, president of edX and professor of electrical engineering and computer science at MIT. Thanks so much.
Thanks.
Thank you.